Okay, now, 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I may bring a series of messages from 1 Timothy. I'm not sure about that, but this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 is our text. This is a true saying. This is a faithful saying. Worthy of your attention, worthy of you hearing it, receiving it, believing it, that Christ Jesus, the Messiah. Christ is the Messiah, the anointed, and Jesus is the Savior. He's the anointed Savior. He came. Wow. He came. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. He came into the world to do something. Not to attempt to save, not to make salvation a possibility, not to do the best he could, not to put a down payment. He came to save. He came to save sinners. And then Paul said, he came to save me. He came to save me. He came to save the chief of sinners. I am with Paul, the chief sinner. I'm entitling the message from that text, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He is what he's called. He is the Savior. The messenger from heaven said, call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. He is the Savior who saves completely, totally, sovereignly, always, eternally by his grace. What a glorious thought. What a glorious thought. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, took to himself our humanity, made of a woman, made under the law. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in the fullness of time, being made a man in the flesh, in the fullness of time, he died in our room and in our stead with our sins charged to him. I think about that. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a gospel. What a gospel. He did this for his covenant children. He made full, complete satisfaction for their sin. He put away their sin by the sacrifice, not of bulls and of goats, but his own blood. He obtained for us eternal redemption with his own blood. He accomplished all of our salvation by himself, with himself, the just dying for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Now, that's good news. Good news that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished all our salvation, obtained for us eternal redemption, and brought in for us eternal righteousness. And all this, verse 11, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, all this is according to the glorious gospel. It's a glorious message. God forbid we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a glorious gospel, and it's the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Some of the old timers like to switch this around and call it the blessed gospel of the glory of God. Either way, both is good news. Both is good news. God is determined to show mercy to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, which was committed to my trust. The message of the gospel is committed unto his people. We must not change it or improve it. We must not alter it or modify it. We must at all costs do one thing, preach it. Preach it. I'm determined, as Paul, to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We must not change it, alter it, improve it, modify it. We must at all costs preach it, promote it, defend it. We must never trim it, compromise it, or play it down, or be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. As Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You remember from our study in 2 Timothy chapter 1, you can turn there if you want to. 2 Timothy chapter 1, when he writes from prison unto young Timothy, he says in verse 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The gospel of God is an eternal gospel. It's much older than creation. The gospel is as old as God himself. That is, it's an eternal gospel committed to our trust. The Lord will bless the preaching of the word of God because he says, all scripture is given of God by inspiration. God will bless the means he's ordained. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. All scripture is given of God by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Therefore, he said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus to do what? Preach the word. Not debate it. Not explain it. Declare it. Preach it. Preach it. Preach it over and over and over again. Now, in verse 12 and following, the Apostle Paul gives us the testimony of how God revealed the gospel to him. And he says, I thank God. Now, every believer can say, I thank God. I thank God who caused me to believe the gospel. I thank God who crossed my path and called me by his grace. I thank God. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ who he enabled me to hear. He enabled me to believe. He enabled me to repent. For he counted me faithful. That is, he made me faithful. He made me faithful. He gave me faith, putting me into the ministry. Every believer has been put into Christ by the grace of God, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. We call that God's electing love, electing grace. He chose a people unto salvation, put us in Christ, and in time he crosses our path with the gospel, calls us out of darkness in his marvelous light, and then he puts every believer in the ministry. If you're a believer, you're in the ministry. Now, you may not have a pulpit ministry, but every believer is part of the body of Christ. And being part of the body of Christ, we all minister unto the Lord by serving one another. And by serving one another, we serve him. Who enabled me, he counted me faithful. That is, he made me faithful and he put me into the ministry. Now, we know the story of Saul of Tarsus. We know his story, don't we? He wasn't seeking mercy, he was seeking murder. He went about not only persecuting believers in Jerusalem, but he went into Damascus persecuting believers. He says in verse 13, who was before, he said, I was a blasphemer, Saul of Tarsus. He was a strict religious Pharisee. He thought he was doing everything right. He thought he had all of his ducks in a row. He thought everything was right. But after he learned the gospel, he said, I was a blasphemer. He called the Lord Jesus Christ a devil and an evil man. He said, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. He hated the Lord Jesus Christ and hated everybody that called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went out and arrested believers, putting them in jail. And when they were sentenced to death, he said, Amen. Let me do it. Let me have a part in it. But, verse 13, I love that word, B-U-T, but God. But God. Paul was on his wild Damascus journey, hating God, hating the Lord Jesus Christ, hating believers. But something happened. He met the Lord. But I obtained mercy. Mercy is something that we obtain by His grace. Mercy is not something we merit. He says this twice in these few verses. Look at verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life. Believing on Him to life. And life in Christ is eternal life. Everlasting life. Now, I obtain mercy. I obtain mercy. Mercy is not merited. Mercy is not earned. Mercy is given because the Lord delights to show mercy. Now hold your place there and turn just a few books over. Find Titus chapter 3. He writes about it in the same way here in chapter 3 of Titus, verse 3. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. Well, that's the flesh. That's the way of the flesh. But after that kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. See verse 5. But according to His mercy, He saved us. Salvation is according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God, I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. But God. Now it reminds me of another scripture. You can turn with me if you want to. Ephesians chapter 2. Whenever I see that word B-U-T, I'm reminded of this verse found in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you had thee quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God. Now who made the difference? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. But I obtained mercy. I am what I am by the grace of God. Look at verse 14. And the grace of our Lord, was exceeding abundant. Now what kind of grace does it take to save a sinner? Exceeding and abundant grace. Sovereign grace. Eternal grace. Fetching grace. Redeeming grace. Calling grace. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I love those four words. Mercy, grace, faith, and love. These are all the gifts of God's grace to us. I obtain these things by the exceeding abundant grace. You remember the scripture in Romans? Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Abundant grace, saving grace, fetching grace, calling grace. With faith, When we have exceeding abundant grace, we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith is always looking not in here. Saving faith is always looking to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith is objective faith. It looks out of self into and to the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Him who's the author and finisher of our faith. And then He gives us love, mercy, and grace. And then He gives us faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the precious gift of faith. And that causes us to have this love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Saul of Tarsus hated the Lord Jesus Christ. But after this exceeding grace and love and faith was given to him, he became a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ." Love is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, faith. Loving the Lord Jesus Christ, we only love Him, we know, because what? He first loved us. Here in His love, not that we loved Him, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. And we only believe Him and love Him because of this exceeding abundant grace. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant. I am what I am. You can say with the Apostle Paul, as a believer, I am what I am by His grace. By His grace alone. Now that gets us down to verse 15. This is a true saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, if the Lord will bless His word to your heart and cause you to look at this, to read it, to hear it, to receive it, believe it, it'll be a blessed, blessed, blessed time. We have here the summary and sum and substance of the gospel of God given by God the Holy Spirit. Old Martin Luther said and called this verse the condensed version of the Bible. This is the whole Bible in one verse. Christ came to save sinners. The whole book tells us about that. Starting way back in Genesis, the seed of the woman that would accomplish our salvation. The condensed version of the Bible in one verse. It's all the counsel of God, how God saves sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful, true saying, worthy of our attention, worthy of our devotion, worthy of our commitment, worthy of our believing, because He is worthy. Remember, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessings, and power, both now and forever. This gospel is a faithful gospel, true to the Word, true to the character of God, honoring the law of God and all of its precepts and penalties, true to all the promises of God in Him, are yes, and in Him, and amen, and to the glory of God. Think about this. Of all that God has promised, and man, He's made a lot of promises. Of all that God has promised, not one word will fail. I'm fully persuaded, like Abraham, of all that God had promised, He is able to perform. It says in Psalm 57 that He performs all things for me. Aren't you glad? He performs all things for us. The gospel is faithful. 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 Now, I want to look at three things. Three things, I'll let you go. Three things I see in the last part of verse 15. The Savior, Christ Jesus. And then secondly, salvation by the Savior. He came to save sinners. And then thirdly, salvation's for who? Who's salvation for? He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinners to repentance. Salvation is for sinners. Salvation is for the ungodly. Now let's look at those three things. He is the Savior of sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He is called God, our Savior. Did you notice that in verse 1? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God, our Savior. God, our Savior. He's the Savior of sinners. If we miss who He is, we'll miss the glorious mystery of the gospel itself. For it's who He is that gives eternal merit and value to what He did. Who is this one called Jesus Christ? He's God, manifest in the flesh. Look right across the page in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. One of the clearest statements about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Think of it. God, who inhabits eternity, inhabited a body of a man. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. God was manifest in the flesh, justified, vindicated by God the Holy Spirit, seed of angels, priest in the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. When He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down on the right hand of God. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God, our Savior. God, our Savior. When He came here, He came as the King. You remember the wise man said, where is he that's born King? He was God when He got here, lived as God. As a God-man mediator, died for our sin. As a God-man mediator, ascended to glory, and He occupies the throne of glory for us. Notice His name. He's the Christ. He's the Christ. He's the anointed of God. He's the anointed. And what does Jesus mean? That name means Savior. He's the anointed Savior who came to save His people from their sin. Came into the world to save sinners. Even in His name, we have His office as the Christ and His person described as the Savior of sinners. As the Christ of God, He's anointed prophet, priest, and king. Prophet to reveal, priest to redeem, and king to reign over us. He is the Savior of our soul. He is our Savior. Jesus Christ, He came. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And He came into the world, secondly, to do something. He came into the world to save. Now, who needs to be saved? Lost people need to be saved. He came to save sinners. 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 The Lord Jesus Christ did not come unsent. He was given of the Father. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have eternal life. He came for a specific purpose. He came to save His people. And He did so by honoring the law of God, by satisfying every precept and every penalty of that law. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to honor it. He came to seek and to save the lost. Turn back here to Luke 19. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? He was another publican, like Matthew. And when Jesus came, verse 5 of Luke 19, when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him, and He said unto him, Zacchaeus, remember Zacchaeus had climbed up the sycamore tree to see the Lord Jesus Christ as He passed that way. And the Lord looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down And he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he's gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You remember what we read earlier? This man receiveth sinners and eats with them. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. The Lord said, This day is salvation come to your house, for as much as he also was the son of Abraham, that is a covenant child, O Zacchaeus. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, sinners unto repentance. Turn over here to Romans chapter 5. You remember this scripture? Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for... Romans 5, verse 6. Look at it carefully. He died for who? Good folks, church folks, righteous folks, moral folks. He died for the ungodly. When we were yet without strength, according to the time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement, reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling us unto himself. He came to seek and to save his children, his people. How did he accomplish it? By the sacrifice of himself for our sins. The sin of God's elect were charged and laid upon him, and he made complete satisfaction for them unto God. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He didn't come, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to make salvation a possibility. He didn't come to put us in a savable state. He didn't come to help us save ourselves. He came to save us from our sin by his own blood. Justified them by his grace. You remember that scripture? Justified freely by his grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now lastly is this. For whom did he come to save? He came to save sinners. Who is salvation for? Sinners. David says more than one time, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Poor and needy, sinners, bankrupt, guilty sinners who have nothing, are nothing, and know nothing. Those who are righteous do not need a Savior. Those who are sinners do. Knowing the Lord saves sinners, the question for all of us to consider right now is this. Am I a sinner? Am I a sinner? I didn't ask you, have you done sinful things? I'm asking you if you are sinful. If you are a sinner. Born that way, shaped that way, come forth from the womb speaking lies. There's a description of the promise fits you to save sinners, of whom Paul said, I am the chief one. I am the biggest sinner. That is the opinion every sinner has of himself before God. There's none as vile and wicked as me. Does that description fit you? Does it fit me? Can I say, can you say with Paul, I'm a sinner? Remember what he said in Romans chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, not that I was, I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God had promised to save sinners. You remember what the publican in the temple cried? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Remember what the Lord said of him? That man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Who was the other man? The other man was the Pharisee who said, God, I thank you. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not like that man. I'm a little better than that man. The Lord said that man went down to his house condemned. But the man who condemned himself, the publican who condemned himself, was justified. The man who justified himself was condemned. That's the way of grace. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, who gets the glory in all this? Notice verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Who gets the glory for saving sinners? God forbid I should glory save in the cross of Christ. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He's worthy of it, isn't he? One more time. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief one.